Good morning, everybody. This is the session on officer responsibilities. We are going to go through some just simple steps, and then we're going to leave time for you to ask questions. So I hope you've got some. My notes are not the best in the world because I'm not really there. So anyway, I am Sheila Young, and I serve as the Florida Council of the Blind president. I've been president for 5 years. I was also a chapter president for a total of 8 years. So I've had a little bit of experience being a chapter and state president. So we're going to go officer by officer, and I'm just going to start so I can mute in case nurses come in. But as a president, your job is to know everything there is to know about your chapter. You need to read your bylaws. You need to read your constitution. You need to know how to make an agenda. You need to appoint committee chairs, not the members, the committee chairs. You need to pretty much know everything there is about a treasurer's report. You need to know everything there is about minutes, because you need to be there to be an advisor for everybody. Because I guarantee you, I don't know all the answers, but I know how to find the answer if somebody has a question that I don't know the answer to. Agendas are very simple. There is a template. There's a basic format for an agenda. You know, you welcome everybody, you do a pledge, you do a prayer, you do approval of minutes, you do approval of a treasurer's report. Then you do committee reports, you do unfinished business, which is business you covered in your last meeting, which would be in your minutes. And then you do new business that has not been discussed yet. Then you cover announcements, and then you tell everybody when your next meeting is. You always entertain, you know, does anyone have unfinished business that we just totally forgot? You also need to ask, is there any new business to come before the membership? And then you ask for an adjournment after a motion to adjourn after you make announcements. You always need a motion and a second before discussion can begin on a topic. And a lot of this is in simple Robert's rules. I do have a president's manual, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and there wasn't a membership secretary one. And I'm going to ask the ACB membership if there is one out there. If it's not good enough, you need to ask for a raise right off the bat, because people do think you are available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You do need to try to set some guidelines so that people aren't calling you at 6 o'clock in the morning and not calling you at 10 o'clock at night. If you don't, then most people know now, do not call me before I have my first cup of coffee. So you do need to set some guidelines with your members, but it is a delightful job. You get to meet so many people. You need to appoint committee chairs to a committee that they fit with. And then you need to let them choose their members, because you don't want to appoint someone to be on their committee that they don't get along with. I mean, we all need to try to get along with everybody, because we're all different, thank goodness. We've all got something different to bring to the table. And we really need to try to research our members, try to find out what their interests are, and put them in a position where they can benefit your chapter or your special interest affiliate. You need to know what your committees are doing. I try to have a committee chair for FCB, a committee chair meeting in the fall, once a year, just to touch base and make sure that they're doing okay and, you know, find out if there's anything that I can help them with. Not that I can, but if I can, I will try. So I'm going to turn it over to Mikey Wiseman for first vice president duties.
He's not here.
Yes, he is.
Katie,
good morning. Good morning, Mikey.
Good morning, Madam President. Do we have anybody on Zoom with any questions or comments for Sheila?
We do not currently.
Thank you. Anybody in the room with questions or comments for Sheila in reference to the life of the president of FCB? So the question is, where would the information be found? Are there manuals or directives for the officer responsibilities, Sheila?
Yeah, there are. And if you are wanting it, feel free to email me. If you don't have my email, I don't know where the heck you've been, because everybody's got my email. But don't email me right now, because for some reason my inbox is not working. And I don't have the, I do have the president's manual on my laptop, but, you know, wait till I get home, but yes, please send me an email. I will be happy to send it out. It is a little bit too involved, so you need to pick and choose, but pick and choose how it fits your need.
Who was that that asked that question, please? Gloria Simmons. Okay, so if you could give Sheila a couple days and then follow up with her. But Sheila, it was for Gloria Simmons. Anybody
hi,
else?
Gloria.
She says hi. Anybody else in the room with a question for Sheila?
Okay, as Sheila was saying, and I'm going to reiterate this as the president of the Greater Orlando Council of the Blind, it is important if you can delegate responsibility to other people, because you may have someone who can really do, maybe they can be an activities chairman. They know people in the area, they know what's around them, that is very important. So, get to know the people in your chapter and what they might be able to do for you.
Thank you,
Craig. That's a very good point. Thank you.
Anyone else with a question or comment? If folks participating on Zoom, don't be shy as well. Please raise your hand and we'll be happy to acknowledge you.
Okay, Janine's here.
Hey, today.
Do you have all the manuals, Sheila?
I do.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Cool. I'll email you. Thank you.
All right.
Is that all? For now?
For now, yes. Yeah. So, folks, first vice president, I think I just showed you what it's all about. Pivoting and shifting. See how I made Sheila just stay there for a little while longer before I had to actually talk or say anything? That's what first vice... No, I'm kidding. The role of first vice president, I have found, I'm the president of FCCLV, and I don't know what I thought first vice president was going to do. I thought it was like the vice president of the United States, which was just, you know, go to fancy dinners and wave and just sit there and smile, and that has not been the case. As you all are aware, this executive committee in its entirety has been a record-breaking, longest-sitting executive committee. Thank you to Ms. Rona, COVID-19. And we have all done a lot. I find that my personal FCB vice president role is first and foremost to support the president. And that support comes in many different shapes and forms. Sometimes it is a counterpart to bounce ideas off. Sometimes it is a rudder. Sometimes it's a propeller. And sometimes it's a punching bag, because sometimes we have to put our emotions somewhere. But we work very closely together. In the end, decisions are the president's, right? But I find that I have been used as, and I'm comfortable with, just being a sounding board sometimes. I'm also, for many people, a first step in escalation or in an inquiry or an attempt to resolve, questions or issues that may come up throughout the state. Oftentimes, people will be a little bit intimidated of if they're finding information on the website and they feel that, you know, the term president is intimidating. Or they will find first vice president not so intimidating. So I get, random calls. I got one the other day from a health navigator with Advent Health. So we feel that. As you know, if anything happens to the president, a first vice president needs to be ready to pick up and be there and represent. Oftentimes, Sheila and I share a lot of information that doesn't necessarily fall on my shoulders, but it's a just in case. I actually got a text from her a little while ago, says she may have a schedule overlap due to her circumstances, and she needed me to be on call, and that's really what it said. I need you to be on call in case this. I said, okay, just let me know what you need. So first vice president is a heavy work position, but there's not a lot of definition to it. You collaborate with obviously the rest of your executive team. You work through your state. You do have a responsibility to collaborate with other affiliates throughout our parent organization, which is American Council of the Blind. And one of the things is, you never know what life is going to be like for the first vice president. A president, I feel, has the power of putting together their agenda and kind of directing things. And anything that falls through that sifter will come to me. Now, I'm really good at punting. So it'll come to me, and I'll shift it over to Cassandra because it's membership. Or I will send it over to Mark because it's a treasurer thing. And So those, the same skills and mindset as the president are required for the first vice president. I think we're pretty transparent up here. Those of us, all of our meetings are open. Most of you know what we've done. Most people in this room have had some interaction with us and in our capacities at different levels. So I'll open it up for specific questions. Zoom, Sheila, room, anybody? Comments or questions?
Hi, this is Richard Graper from the Manatee County Council. Mikey, my first convention was at the Avanti Palms in Jacksonville quite a few years ago, and you were in charge.
Avanti Palms is in Orlando on International Drive.
What was the one in Jacksonville?
That was either the Lexington, okay, or the South Bank. It's the same hotel. It's been through. We've been there with three different names.
Okay. Well, that was one of my point was that every convention I've been to, you've been in charge of the hotel, and you've done a very wonderful job. And is that part of being the vice president, or is that just because you're amazingly talented at dealing with hotel contracts?
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you keep coming back. You are a glutton for punishment. Within the organization, I wear a couple different hats. So in this position, I am an elected officer as first vice president. The other role that you know me in would be the hotel coordinator. And that is an appointed position by the president in collaboration with the convention chair. And it is a different world, but yes, no, that is not an elected officer position. That is an appointed position. There's a lot of people up here laughing because they oftentimes a lot of people. Thank you for asking that question because it does get confusing and that is a great lead in, a segue is we have learned and we try to stress since many of us wear different hats when we enter dialogue or are approaching a situation. We do our best to self-identify as what role we're working in, what capacity we're working in. So there are times where I will be talking to a member and I'll say, hey, it's Mikey and I'm calling you as first vice president. Or, hey, it's Mikey and I'm calling you as hotel coordinator. Or, hey, it's Mikey, I'm calling you as president of FCCLV. Or, hey, it's Mikey, I'm calling you just as, you know, a collaborative member. And this is strictly, you know, social, little kiki call, whatever. But it is important for, I feel, for everyone else's sake that we as officers assume that responsibility. Almost as taking it on, you know, if we try to put it in a contextual dialogue about how the lexicon and verbiage has changed, where individuals may choose to lead with their chosen pronouns or a different name. I think it's important for us to self-identify in what role and capacity we are working or speaking in so that the individual that we're interacting with has a clear definition of what all we can do within that capacity. So thank you for that. Any other questions or comments?
We do have a raised hand on Zoom.
Sure, go ahead. If you could introduce yourself and state your name on Zoom.
Kesha, you can go ahead.
Good morning, sorry. I actually had a question regarding Sheila's dialogue. And then it could be for probably all officers. But my question and my concern would be in transitioning into the role of president, how would you guys suggest making that for somebody who is new transitioning into that role? Because a lot of times, like I said, I definitely understand creating guidelines and boundaries as to what is going to be your non-negotiables. But also sometimes when you're transitioning into those new roles, getting members to stay consistent or motivated or encouraged.
I'm gonna go ahead and try to reiterate what I think your question was, is what is a transition like and what is expected in new roles and as individuals assume new responsibilities in different roles, is that correct?
And that's on both ends, yeah. Because sometimes I think that, you know, when a new person comes in, people have the expectation that the new person should operate like the previous person. And so sometimes you get that disconnect or just the disconnect of trying to, I'll say probably more so since pandemic, where people have just gotten comfortable being home and now you're trying to get them re-energized to get back out and back connected. So I would love to hear what some presidents have been doing to do that and also how they have transitioned in maintaining proper and effective lines of communication.
Well, I can start, Mike, because, you know, we had that situation occur in Orlando. And what I did when I turned out pretty much was, I'm here if you need me. If you need a sample agenda, I will be happy to share it with you. I tried very hard and have tried very hard not to insert much into what the new president is doing because each president is different and each person is different when they take an office. It's not fair for anyone to be thrown into an office when they don't know what the heck to do. So they do need to have a mentor.
I'm gonna strongly agree with Sheila in the fact that, and thank you, Kashe, for bringing that forward and providing that space for dialogue, it is absolutely unfair for an individual to be judged by their predecessor.
Amen.
We do not elect the same person over and over and over and over again. Each one of us sitting here right now is absolutely unique in our leadership style. We all have different strengths. We all have different areas that we reach out to each other for reinforcement. We would hope that our members understand that every person that's going to be elected into a different role is going to do things slightly different. One of the positions that exist within our board is the immediate past president. While it is, in essence, getting somebody close to the pastor, by no means is it a position of complete retirement. On the contrary, we would expect that individual who is going to, by default, fall into that position. So that is the one position on the board that is not elected, right? You fall into that position. To be a living resource, because there is nothing more valuable than life experience and past experience and having that approach of having been there, done that. As Sheila said in her
And another thing that...
Yes, go ahead.
That another thing is finding balance to... for me personally, I know that I'm a person, I love to be involved and I love to have impact. And when I feel that I'm not having an impact, because there is maybe a wall that you feel like you have to keep kind of doing these hurdles to get over, that also brings a level of, should I serve or should I continue to serve? Because when you don't feel like you're going to have an impact in a certain area, that makes it harder to be able to serve in any role as an officer. And so, I would love to have more dialogue and conversation about that.
Well, and Cache, I feel that if your members respect you, and no matter what area you're serving, whether you try to interject into committees or not, you know, it's important that you're there. It's important that you know what they're talking about. And if they're going over a guideline that they're not correct, it is important that you say, hang on, guys, you know, this is not the way to do this, so let's think about it. You know, you have to do it. It's all about presentation, and it's all about conversation. So,
in reference to impact, Cache and everyone else, it is
you know,
up
not
to
everybody's going to like you. I can promise you that.
It is really up to an individual to find their niche and figure out what kind of impact they want to have. Every single person that sits on the executive committee and carries the title of officer leaves a specific impact. Now, some of them are very much outward facing and some of them not so much. Some of them leave a full handprint on situations and some of them leave a fingerprint. And there is no delineation because they're just as important. You know, you can have a very big wall that you've put together, but that foundational minimal screw and washer that nobody sees is the one that's holding it up. One of those examples is going to be the diligent work that our recording secretary does. Many of you folks don't know how significant her imprint and her mark is, but it is her work, oftentimes behind the scenes, oftentimes thankless, and done in the bowels of after a long call and editing and having to listen to recordings. But she provides us her work, her impact, her fingerprint on this organization is historical tracking of what was talked about, decisions that were made.
And Mikey, I just looked at the time. We need to, Cache, thank you so much for your question. We would love to talk some more for sure.
Okay.
We need to wrap up yours, turn it to Cassandra, and we've only got like 20 minutes, so let's keep moving.
I'm going to start moving the microphone over to Cassandra, but we do have a question from the floor.
Okay.
Okay, so I have questions. I know we're talking about...
Please make it quick, Janine.
I will. I want to follow up with what Mikey said. If you do not have an immediate past president who's supposed to be a mentor for you, who is that? And and then the other question I had, I forgot because... three people that just talked to me. It was something that you said.
But to answer that question, in Florida Council, each chapter has an officer liaison that is very knowledgeable, and that is the system we have set up to help all of our chapters. So that is the person you would go to.
So who's our officer liaison now?
It is me.
You're back.
I told you that. Yes, I
didn't know. Okay, thank you.
Ma'am.
Oh, yes, this is my very important question. Okay, so you were speaking about an agenda, and you say the president does it, and I've been doing the agenda for almost 2 years as the secretary, and I...
That was the president's lack of knowledge of the procedures, so it is the president's job to do an agenda.
And if the president asks me to do it, do I say no?
It is not usually done by the secretary.
Okay, so going forward, I just want to clarify this right now, right here, because...
I will send you all of the manuals when I am able to.
Okay, thank you so much. That was
You're
my
welcome.
Question. Thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right, Cassandra.
Good evening, afternoon, everyone. Morning, whatever it is. I am Cassandra, so as Mikey says, we wear many hats. So I am the president of my local chapter, Daytona Beach Halifax Council of the Blind. I am also your state membership chair. I am now sitting in this chair as your second vice president. And basically, the second vice president is to do exactly what Mikey said. So I support Mikey and Sheila and... basically whatever Mikey says to do, with the exception of drinking Crown Royal, I will do it. So we go. I went with him to a meeting with him yesterday because he was acting as hotel coordinator, and he needed another officer there to, you know, to make sure that things ran the way it needed to be there. I also back up Sheila. I'm also a sounding board. When she can't reach Mikey, sometimes we laugh, we cry, you know, just whatever we need to do. I am her support network. As second vice president, I also hang out with whomever needs it. So sometimes Mary and I, we hang out and make sure some stuff gets done. Mark and I, we hang out. So we just do, you know, me, I just support whatever officer needs it, and whoever on the board may need me. That is a short version of it, because like Sheila said, we do have a shortage of time, but we can, and we do have the manuals, and so ensure that we, you know, can get those to you. Thank you. Do you have any questions, you guys? Anybody on Zoom, Bell?
We did not have any.
All right, then I'm going to pass the mic to Mary.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Somebody's phone is ringing.
Oh, Cassandra.
Go get money from that person. I'm Mary Tyson. I'm recording secretary. I did not seek this position. but I think I was honored to be asked if I would be interested in this position. I will tell you, I have been a, quote, secretary end quote, for my career, which bears absolutely no resemblance to what it is in this job, except for the taking of minutes, which I've done all my life. So, but this has been a new experience for me, and I've tried my best. I've learned as I've gone along. I've learned from other secretaries that I've spoken to of chapters. And so I think it's been beneficial to me. I think I'm probably a better secretary than I was when I started this position, because I really didn't know too much what I was doing, like I said, except for taking of minutes, which is important. It is one of the most important things you do. But in this particular organization, one of the things that the secretary is responsible to track is to when chapters send in their information every year, and you've all heard it before. You send your constitution and bylaws and your minutes and your treasurer's reports, and you send your rosters to Sally, and you send your money to Mark, and so, but it's important to track that, and now we have a wonderful email address where everything can be sent, and Liz with Archives has been wonderful in setting that up, and when it's something is submitted, she tracks it so we know who has who has complied. We want everyone to stay in compliance. So another thing that the secretary does is attend executive committee meetings as part of the board, and I take minutes for those. And let me tell you, no one ever prepared me for that. That was interesting, and I've learned a lot. And it's interesting, and it's you learn what you need to cover. You learn it's because it's so different than any work I did before. You learn what must be recorded, like motions and actions, and there's actually a motions and actions document that I think documents everything back to like the year 2000, if I remember right. I haven't looked at it in a while because I'm going to have to add to it, and then I will pass it along to who should ever take my place. My position doesn't term out. They threaten me with it every time it rolls around. I have been, it'll be 5 years, so 6 years at the completion of term. But secretary and treasurer do not term out. So they can keep reelecting us and reelecting us at the wishes of the membership. Should they find somebody that they would prefer, then we are also at their mercy. So I've really enjoyed this job. I've learned a lot from it. And I did explain to Mikey that I did not get paid by typing by the word. I didn't get paid by the word for all my typing, so he could use less of them. But he didn't seem to agree with me on that. So if anybody has any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions in the room? Any on Zoom?
None on Zoom.
I guess it's my turn.
It's Mark's turn.
The Office of the Treasury. Well, first thing on the agenda is figuring out your bank. And the questions you have to figure out is, and I've done this for two other organizations, and I'm lucky that the first thing I looked at was convenience. Can I get to the bank? Can I take care of this on my own? And when I was younger, a lot younger, I had a bike and I could go to the bank anytime I wanted to. I still can walk to the bank. They're all my banks are close, so that's been a good convenience for me. When you talk about your bank, what requirements do they have? When you set it up, each chapter has an EIN number. That's employee identification number. You need that, and every chapter in Florida Council has an EIN. So you should never be using your Social Security number, which is the other thing. If you don't have it, they'll be looking for your Social Security number, and you really don't want to get involved in that, because that's a lot of possibly tax problems for you personally. So you want to make sure you have the EIN number, and it has to be your EIN number, not FCB's. So every chapter has one. If you don't know what it is, we have copied that information for you. If you don't have one, and we have run into this, and I think Calm had to, do their EIN number there because they were a newer chapter. So they did their own. And they just contacted the IRS to get that squared away. What kind of charges does your bank have? When we bank at Chase, which is what we do, Chase requires that we have $3,500 maintained in that account. If you go below it, then you pay the service charges. So you want to make sure that your chapter can handle the charges for the other one of the other chapters or one of the other places I am the treasurer for. It only costs us $500. We have to keep a $500 mini.
Right now,
hurting a little.
We have a $500 minimum we have to maintain in there before we have to get we do pay some bank charges. And of course, in most our cases, it's mostly a checking account that you're doing, but your chapter may have some investments, so you want to be able to take care of that and see what you can do. So if you're doing CDs, money markets, all that other stuff that you want to be able to do to establish your account and maintain it. Los chapters, we recommend, and most bank accounts require, that you do have at least two signers. Savings and investment. So if you have some extra money or monies that can be set aside for savings, like that you want to put in a separate account, that you can look into to take care of extra money that you might want to be able to invest later and do different things with. Each month I have to do, each chapter treasurer should be reporting their chapter's income and expenses to their chapter, so that the membership is aware of where the money is and where it's going and what's coming in. I'm on the fundraise. Most treasurers are a member of or the chair of the fundraising committee. I happen to be the office liaison, and so that's what I do with this. So I'm on their committee, and I have a finance committee that helps me too. The fun part is federal fundings, federal filings, and so when there are things that every chapter has to do with we do have to do our 990N postcards. That's what we do every year. Every chapter is involved in doing that. Fortunately for us, Pam Kiesel has done a lot of it. I also did not mention, and a big thing is for me, for the Treasury, is that you need to be in SunBiz if you have bank issues. So if you're not in SunBiz, then you may have some issues with your bank. Any questions?
And Mark, if we have any questions, we need to keep them as quick as possible, because we need Sally to give a short
report. Sally's not even in the room.
Oh, she's not in here?
No.
Okay.
Any questions?
We've got about 3 minutes. Are any questions for anybody?
Katie can do membership, and then I can fill in the other part for ACB real quick, because she does membership, so she knows what
to
do.
Okay, Katie?
Yes, ma'am. Sally does membership. Everyone sends her their rosters. They need to be in by November 30th. it's very important that when you send your invitation information to Sally, that your members have the correct information, their phone numbers, their correct addresses, their correct email addresses. When Sally sends out the White Cane Bulletin, if we're sending out a large print copy or we're sending out a regular print copy, if the address is wrong, they're not going to get it and it will come back to Sally. So that causes FCB charges for paper, postage, and ink cartridges. I think that's pretty much it. Everyone knows we're really careful about making sure that everybody knows what they need to do. The other thing that Sally will need is that we have to send in our assessments. And most of us, it's $50 a year. Some of the chapters who do more fundraising will have a different charge. I know I did this very quickly. Does anyone have any questions?
And there is a lot more to the different offices at the state level than there are at the local level. So what we've been telling you today pretty much is a combination of both. So I'm respectful of the next session, which starts in 10 minutes. So thank you to the executive committee for being here. Thank you, Katie, for filling in. And thank you, everybody, for being part of this session.
Okay, before we close, you all, I'd like to thank our host, Belinda Collins. I would like to thank John Richards for being our monitor streamer. Our next session will be in here at 11:15, and this will be Comcast Charter, and it will last until 12:05.